You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Now, when you go to the store and buy somebody a card, does it seem like the selection isn't as big as it was a few years ago? There might be a reason for that. Industry experts say people aren't buying quite as many, and stores aren't stocking up as much. In fact, CVS and Walmart recently said they plan to scale back on cards to make room for other stuff. But you know who still does buy cards? Millennials, apparently. So how are greeting card companies trying to appeal to them? Peter Doherty is the executive director of the Greeting Card Association. Peter, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me, Rob. Appreciate it.
I've seen some different numbers about greeting card sales trends and how many we're selling. What do you see from where you're sitting?
Well, to start off, I have read the articles related to CVS and Walmart. I'm not privy to what's happening inside those companies, and I'm sure that they are quite healthy. And we're also not really able to get a handle on how the analysis of their products and space allocations take place. But, you know, the companies need to make decisions. They're seeing trends, especially in their local areas, and they need to make decisions and shifts as a result. This happens all the time. And I think there are many factors that might cause some of these companies to shift their product offerings in stores. We are seeing, we never like to see certain companies cutting back on cards, but we're actually seeing gains in some areas. And we're seeing both card companies and some retailers becoming, I think, smarter and more nimble in choosing either new lines that they've never carried in their stores before, or portions of lines from varied companies to give them more of a personalized mix that their customers are looking for right now.
Now, this is the age of the internet, and it might seem on the face of it like, okay, people might turn away from greeting cards and go with e-vites or email thank yous or social media to send pictures. Are you seeing that cutting into greeting cards at all?
Yeah, that's interesting. You would think that people would be shifting from a paper-based product to something that's electronic and just sticking with it. But you mentioned millennials. Actually, we see millennials going the other way in that they've grown up with electronic communications, and frankly, they're not so enthused by it anymore. And in many cases, they're looking for something that's longer lasting and really gives them a personalized touch, both for themselves and for recipients. So millennials are I suppose going the opposite direction, in they're looking for something that they can hold in their hand, they can physically hand over to a loved one or a friend and let those folks know that they really care about them. And they took a minute or two out of their daily life to really think about that person. And that doesn't happen very often nowadays. So it's nice to see that. And it's not just happening with millennials. There are folks who are using digital cards and e-cards. Many of the larger companies produce them. You also find companies online who only sell their cards online, but then they have a mix of electronic and hard copy paper cards. We actually see e-cards and electronic cards, and most of the companies feel this way, that e-cards and electronic communications and quick greetings are kind of an entry point to those who might want to find something that's a bit more personalized and really speaks to not only them, but the recipient. So in a lot of ways, we think that the e-card generation is looking for more at this point. And we're not seeing e-cards and similar products really cutting into sales for the most part.
Now, apart from birthdays and anniversaries, I would think some card sales are obviously going to be at a particular time of year, the Valentine's Day, the Mother's Day, Christmas, sure, holidays. How do you see greeting card sales dispersed out throughout the year?
Well, I would like to put a shout out to all those who purchase St. Patrick's Day cards personally. I think that holiday gets it gets too small a percentage of sales. So I want all my St. Patrick's Day lovers to get out there. But Christmas is and has been for many years the top the top seller when it comes to numbers. And then Valentine's Day is close behind. Mother's Day is a huge holiday for greeting card companies. And I'm happy to say that we've seen a jump recently in Father's Day cards as well. So I'm looking forward to receiving something shortly.
Talking to Peter Doherty with the Greeting Card Association. We're talking about the past, present, and future of greeting cards. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you still like to send cards? Have you recently gotten more into sending actual physical greeting cards? Or have you fizzled, turned to some form of electronic communication? Do you like getting a greeting card in the mail? Does it break up the monotony of the bills and advertisements? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. And Peter, I understand that, and you were talking about this a little bit, companies are trying to be smarter. There's more premium cards. There's just maybe more variety and coolness about the cards that people might find these days.
Oh, absolutely. The Greeting Card Association estimates that roughly 6 billion cards are purchased each year. And it's safe to say that there are a larger percentage of premium cards now, cards in a certain price range above $5, $6, $7. And some of that points to the innovation coming from larger and smaller companies. Most of the companies who are members of our organization, as a matter of fact, are companies who have only been in the industry for the past 3 to 5 years, and they generally make their cards available online or through perhaps 2, 3, 4, 5 dozen card and stationery companies around the in their general area. We're seeing lots of innovation from those smaller companies and some of the larger companies, Hallmark, American Greetings, Designer Greetings, you can name all of them. They are learning, I think, from some of the trials and testing that are being done by smaller companies. You're seeing investors getting involved in some cases in companies that have come out with new products recently. Pop-up cards, musical cards, video cards. Cards that are being produced not just with paper, but premium paper or even different types of surfaces. I've seen wooden cards. I've seen cards made entirely of bronze or copper or even stainless steel. How would it feel to get something like that in the mail? The postage is probably fairly high in that case, but it's a fantastic thing to receive and certainly memorable. But there are still cards in the 99-cent price point and below. So there is something out there for everybody.
Let's bring on our callers now. Abby starts us off in Brookfield. Abby, hi.
Hi. Yeah, so I just wanted to say I'm 18 years old, which I know is not typically the card demographic, but I love greeting cards, and I always send thank you cards because my mom has always taught me that that's really important, that, you know, that personal touch shows that you really are grateful. So it's something that I'm doing now that I'll continue to do, I'm sure, for a really long time.
And Abby, in your circle of friends in that 18-ish year demographic, do they think, oh, that's cool, oh, that's weird, oh, I'm going to do it too? What kind of reactions do you get?
I'd say most of the time my thank you cards go to my family, but with my friends, we all send each other like notes or letters a lot, especially just to like show that we're thankful, or, you know, if somebody's having a rough time, to kind of console somebody. So that's something that we really like to keep up too.
Abby, thanks a lot for that call. So that's even a post-millennial there, Peter. She sends cards to family, and it sounds like written notes to friends as well. So it's not all online.
Yeah, that's excellent to hear. We have a lot of information on millennials, but we're also seeing post-millennials getting involved in card sending and trying to keep those important connections. It's so hard to lose them. Baby boomers. Now, I don't know if her parents are Generation X, that's my generation, or baby boomers, but either way, baby boomers have always been champions of cards, and they continue to be. And generation X has stuck with it, but we're seeing purchases from millennials actually passing baby boomers now as the largest single generation purchasing cards in terms of dollar amount. And that's pretty exciting. And it's also interesting to note that many of the card companies getting started now are owned by millennials and those just getting started. So they're taking something that they love and they're finding ways to monetize it. And good for them.
We're talking about greeting cards and who's buying them these days with Peter Daugherty, Executive Director of the Greeting Card Association. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you still like to buy paper greeting cards and send them to friends, family, or do you send those sentiments via text or e-card? What would you rather get, a card or an email? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. If you send us a card, we probably won't be able to talk about it on the air in time. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about the changing market for greeting cards and how the greeting card industry is adapting. Peter Daugherty is our guest, Executive Director of the Greeting Card Association. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you sending fewer greeting cards than you used to or more? How do you feel when you get one in the mail versus something in your inbox? Is there a memorable greeting card you've given or received? Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll go back to your calls now. Tom is with us in Milwaukee. Tom, hi.
Hi. I do something a little bit more subversive. I make my own cards.
Uh-huh. And what do you make them out of, Tom?
I just find available paper. Sometimes it's typing paper if I've got some heavier grades of paper. I usually have a set of colored magic markers, some Elmer's glue and glitter, and whatever else I think I want to affix to the card. I used to go to shop for cards, and I would always want the exact thing for the person, you know, something that really fits. And I'd find myself going to one, two, or three different places that sell cards. And I realized I was spending so much time going through the cards, I thought, I'm going to save more time just by making my own.
Fantastic, Tom. I love it. Thanks a lot for calling in. And Peter, you were saying earlier, there are probably a lot of people who started like Tom and now are actually selling their creations.
Oh, absolutely. It's fantastic to hear Tom doing that. We've seen a real groundswell for homemade cards and craft cards, and you see them all over the place at local fairs and exhibits. And we've actually considered putting together an awards program for the craft card portion of the industry. We have an annual event called the Louis Awards, which celebrates the best greeting cards of the year. A lot of folks will start making their own cards and they'll see something that really appeals to them and they start sharing it with their friends and their friends say, well, you should do something about this. There could really be a market for this. And that's how a lot of the companies get their start. One nice thing about the greeting card business is it's relatively inexpensive to start a company. Now, doing everything the right way, well, that's something else entirely, but there are tools out there to help people get their start. But it's an inexpensive hobby to pick up, and it could really lead to something.
Thanks for the call, Tom. We'll go now to Elizabeth on the line in Madison. Elizabeth, hello.
Oh, hello.
Yes, what did you want to say about greeting cards, Elizabeth?
Yes, I love to give greeting cards and include a little note in them, and I love receiving them and displaying them. It just makes me so happy. And my favorite cards are from Trader Joe's.
And Elizabeth, do you just send them on for special occasions or do you just send them out of the blue to people?
Usually anniversaries, birthdays, just to keep in touch with people in a good old-fashioned way.
Elizabeth, thanks a lot for the call. And she mentioned Peter. She loves to display them. That's something that's a little harder to pull off with an email.
That's for sure. Actually, a lot of folks either stick with greeting cards or they return to greeting cards because they've been a little frustrated by electronic messaging in the past. There's actually a card company that's a member of GCA called Auto Incorrect. And I know the owner of this company, and their specialty is text-based cards that celebrate all of the things that happen, unfortunately, to your messages when you're about to send them to a friend or loved one or even a colleague. You can get some pretty funny alternate messages that you did not intend. Let's just say that. The cards that are available out there in the in stores from the smallest gift store in your local area to the larger stores like Walmart or CVS or Target, it's great to see all the variety, all the innovation, all the fresh faces sharing their craft.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. We're talking about the past, present, and future of the greeting card. Peter Doherty is with us from the Greeting Card Association. Still time for you to join in at 800-642-1234. Do you like to send and or receive physical greeting cards? Back to your calls now. We've got Vivian calling from Green Bay. Vivian, hello.
Hello. Greeting cards. I always save what I can from the covers or whatever, cut them off, save them for a few months, and then donate those pieces of greeting cards to the local library. And they have a second life as bookmarks.
Oh, what a good idea.
And in the 1970s, 76, I coached a girls' soccer team when it was in its infancy here in Green Bay. And I sent the kids, because these kids ranged from 8 to 10, and I sent postcards after each game, just a little personal note, and you can make a really cute character out of a soccer ball. I'm a baby boomer. My friends and I still send cards, and some of them are so gorgeous. My source for a lot of unique cards is a thrift store. I find vintage greeting cards there, and sometimes they're so cute, I don't send them. But anyway, it's a fun place to look for cards that someone else has decided not to use, and you don't find a second card like that anywhere.
Vivian, thanks so much. Ahead of the curve, coaching a soccer team in the 70s. Thanks for that call. She mentioned, it sounds like she kind of collects some of those. Is that a thing, Peter? People collecting greeting cards?
Oh, it absolutely is a thing. We have a section on our website, and there is a museum that shares the earliest greeting cards, including those that were originally produced for the first time in England. Greeting cards became a thing here in the United States around the 1880s, and since then it's become a real collector's item and a keepsake for a lot of folks. I'm lucky because I'm just down the road from the National Postal Museum, run by the United States Postal Service, and they have a quite varied collection of greeting cards, first issues, and just seeing those pristine cards. And you know, I talk about all the variety that you see in cards that are available for purchase today, but it was a different kind of look and feel back in the 1920s, 30s, 40s. You don't see those cards anymore, and I really appreciate those who are collecting cards, and we actually will take collections of cards from folks to try to preserve as much history as we can. So do a lot of the other card companies. It's a piece of our history we need to hold on to for sure.
Time for another caller or two. Sarah is with us in Menominee. Sarah, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to tell us about, Sarah?
Well, I've been sending greeting cards across the country and to two different countries for about 5 years now, and I have about 65 to 70 pen pals.
Wow.
That I write. I started doing it to help fight my depression, and I always thought it was very depressing to get bills all the time. So So I decided that I'd spend time when I was upset to write happy thoughts and like positive statements and send them to all my friends and family and whoever I had addresses for. And it just went crazy.
What a great story, Sarah. Thanks so much. So greeting cards is therapy, Peter, in our last few moments.
Oh, it absolutely. It absolutely is. And it's, you know, it's just as much the person that you're getting the card from is the card itself, but it's just a way to convey that special message. And I collect them myself. Of course, it's a little easier for me because I'm surrounded by cards all the time and I get a lot of variety coming through the doors, but, oh yeah, it's great. And it reminds you of, you know, a wonderful moment in your life, and it's easy to hold on to, and they're compact, so it's easy to collect cards. Why not?
We'll leave it there, Peter. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
All right, thank you. Take care.
That's Peter Doherty, Executive Director of the Greeting Card Association. We talked with him about the changing nature of the greeting card industry. If you still want to tell us about your greeting card habits, you can tweet us at Central Time WPR or send us an email, ideas@WPR.org. Coming up tomorrow here on Central Time, another high-profile cabinet post opened up this week, leaving a large number of acting appointees in the Trump White House. We'll find out more in our weekly roundup of national news. A new WIS Context report takes an up-close look at the Wisconsin zip code with one of the highest crime and incarceration rates in the state. We'll find out what they learned. And we'll look at the rise of TV talent shows from American Idol to Dancing with the Stars and find out why they took over the small screen. That and more coming up tomorrow here on Central Time. Coming up next, it's news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio. Then we'll talk about the annual State of the Tribes address, which was delivered today at the state capitol. We'll look at some of the issues that came up there from the environment to education. I'm Rob Ferret. Stick around. There's more to come on Central Time here on the Ideas Network.